A good day, everyone. I am Mark, your fat friend.
And I'm James, your black friend.
And this is the Fat and Black Connection,
where we talk about anything and everything. Well, you know, as long as it's interesting to us, of course.
Indeed. And right up front at the top of the show, I think it's important that we take a brief moment of silence, as today is the 80th anniversary of a day that would live in infamy, the Pearl Harbor attacks. So let's take a moment to reflect on 80 years ago, what that meant. All right, 80 years. That's quite some time. That's, you know, twice as long as I've been living. And I think, you know, as a society, I think we sometimes forget about these tragic events that have happened in our history. You know, for you and me, we lived through 9/11.
Yeah.
Having had just graduated from high school, for me, a year out of high school for you.
Yeah.
And you know, this was a lifetime before then, right?
Right. And that was their call, you know, that was that generation's call to yo, we're not invincible.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just like 9/11 was like, you know, America's the greatest, and then all of a sudden, like, two shining beacons and thousands of people lost their lives in matters of moments, and it's like, bro, nothing's for certain. I remember we talked not long after that, and you were up at Ohlone. You were talking about, and I think it was you and Ty were up, just kind of up on the hill, and there was not a plane in sight. It was probably the clearest, quietest day. You know, like, everything was grounded. I remember I was just like, this, what is happening right now? Like, it didn't, I mean, I remember turning on the TV and it didn't look real, bro. Like, honestly, it looked, I was like, what kind of movie is on at this early in the morning? But it was no movie. That was real.
And that's one of the crazy things to think about, is when you go back, you know, to 1941, you know, this happened in Hawaii, where the communication from the time that the events happened to the time people in the mainland started finding out was hours later, where, you know, I watched the towers fall live. You know, I watched the second plane hit live.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. I saw the second plane hit. I saw, like, I watched them fall. I was just like, what?
So imagine, you know, 1941, you know,
right,
basically 60 years earlier than 9/11, and you're sitting in your living room and you don't know anything's going on until maybe even the nightly news is when you find out that it happened.
And that was morning? It was like morning,
yes.
Wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Dang it. Wow.
You also got to remember there's a 3-hour difference between the West Coast and Hawaii. So a 6-hour time difference between East Coast and Hawaii.
Wow.
So, you know, it's
that's crazy to even think
about. You know, overall, I always think it's important to try and remember these events. I don't want to live day to day in these events,
right?
Because we can't. That's not healthy. But we should never forget them either, because they did happen.
Not.
And yeah, we're in a different time today, right? We've established relationships with the Germans, with the Japanese. You know, it's a completely different time. Just like we've established a lot of healthy-ish relationships in the Middle East. Not great, but
yeah.
I think better than.
But they have been before, yeah.
But we're doomed to repeat our mistakes if we don't at least recognize what has happened in the past. It was interesting. I read an article about the fall of Rome recently, and all the events that led up to its fall eventually.
Yeah.
And the U.S. is heading in that direction. If I'm honest, you know, I think it's important that people understand not just U.S. history, but world history, you know, cultural history, societal history, because there's a lot of stuff that's happened over the course of the world that it just keeps repeating. It just keeps happening over and over because we're not learning. We're not growing as a species, which is really disconcerting.
Yeah, no, that is scary. Just on a side note, I would like to read that article or whatever that was that you were reading.
Yeah. No, I'll find it again and I'll send it to you. Which leads kind of into, I know that you had mentioned you wanted to share a story.
Yeah. So, I happened to be working, a couple of days, I guess this was like maybe 2 days ago now. I can't even, my time is changing so much. But a woman walked by, and it was a woman that I thought I had seen before. I was just putting Gatorades away, and I was like, hey, I think I saw you yesterday. And she looked, and she stopped, and she's like, no, I wasn't here yesterday. We kind of just chatted for a moment, I heard an accent, and I was just like, Australia? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, awesome. I've always wanted to go to Australia. And then I basically was talking about how everything, I heard everything in Australia pretty much is trying to kill you. And she made a comment that was so sad, but so true. Where she said, I like to say, in Australia, everything is trying to kill you. In America, the people will try and kill you. And I was like,
interesting.
So
I assume she's referring to, the animals and critters out in the
wild. So I was just kind of asking about, there's some of the spiders the size of plates and kangaroos and they have a bunch.
Kangaroos are deadly out there, huh?
Yeah, no.
They just go around boxing the crap out of people.
Like, you can get kicked. If you get kicked by a kangaroo, that can, kill you.
I don't think kangaroos go around. No, they're not hunters.
They're not hunters. But, there's a lot of things are poisonous. The
koalas, they're vicious, I hear.
I saw a video. Those things are mean, too.
No, they are vicious, but again, it's not like they're out hunting you.
Right. And I mean, God's joke to humanity, the duck-billed platypus, thing's poisonous, bro. But yeah, like just the from what she was like, the number of venomous, and she said like, if you're in the city, there's nothing you have to worry about, but once you get out of the cities, then it's a little crazy. And apparently, this is super side note, on vehicles that are going through that do like cross country, like on semis and stuff like that, they apparently have this thing called can't remember the name of it. She was basically saying it's basically a sound. It emanates a sound from like the front as the wind's coming through it. It makes a sound that only kangaroos can hear. So basically lures them. It basically once they want to go away from the road so that they don't get hit. And she also said, if you see a kangaroo dead on the side of the road, you check its pouch to see if there's a joey inside. Because otherwise they'll stay inside. Yeah, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. But
so just really quickly, we've got some folks checking in this morning. We've got Brian checking in from Yosemite. We've got Chris checking in. And we've got Michael saying not to mess with kangaroos. So I definitely won't personally. But
yeah, no.
Kind of interesting really quickly. So in 2019, which seems to be the most recent hard facts that we have, in all of Australia, which if we recall was originally a penal colony. In all of Australia, there were a total of 416 murders. In 2019, And in the U.S., so same year, 16,425. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah, she was bringing, and again, it was, I guess because it also was, it wasn't long after, I guess, well, it was a couple of days after the whole high school, the last high school shooting that happened, which is far too many, in my opinion. I think in all of our opinions, but, you know, that's just me. And that's what prompted her. She was talking about how, you know, Australia, zero guns. they had one mass shooting and they were like, no guns. But of course, we can't change anything here unless we make some changes. And oh, this guy's here. Were you able to hear that? Sorry.
The food truck, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Yes, I heard the food truck. Thank you.
I was like, what are they doing? Anyways, but yeah, so it was just one of those conversations that you have and you're like, dang, man. Like, if you ever meet somebody from another country and you have a conversation with you, you kind of see, it's like, oh yeah, like this, we are large on the world scale, but we are, when you think about it, it's just so, so minuscule when it comes to some of our thinking and everything else.
And Brian calls out so correctly that the Australian penal colony was convicted felons.
Yeah.
America colony?
No. They were trying to get away from their oppressors.
Weren't they looking for religious freedom?
Yeah, and then they imposed their religion on everybody else.
Yay, America. I don't know. I mean, you know, you brought up the high school shooting that happened, you know, just last week in Detroit or outside of Detroit in Michigan. And, you know, I was reading an article this morning, so frustrating that just hours before this shooting, this kid was in a meeting with counselors and his parents because a teacher had found a drawing on his desk of a drawing of bullets and something that said, you know, there will be blood or lots of blood or something like that. And they had him in an office and the school gave the parents the choice. Hey, do you want to take him home or do you want to leave him in school? And they let him stay in school. You know, that's craziness to me that if something like that is found, like that should be automatic. Like, hey, we need you to go see somebody and get approval from psychiatric health or something before you can come back to school.
That was the thing, is that they, there was a, I guess Michigan doesn't have these red flag, I guess they call it quote unquote red flag laws, that the authorities will be called in based on certain situations. And so like there was the picture, apparently a teacher caught him during class looking up ammo on his phone. And that's one of the reasons I think there was a text message I saw a press conference with I guess the woman that's leading the prosecution for this case, and she was saying there was a text message from his mom saying after the whole seeing the bullets on the phone thing about don't get caught or something like that. And it's like, what? No, I think that might be one of the reasons that this is like the first time a parent has been convicted or not convicted,
charged
with, like, basically
involuntary
manslaughter, because they, you know, there was things that could have happened, I guess. I don't know exactly everything, but I'm just saying, like, it's weird. It's very weird that there was, they had these signs. I mean, like, glaring neon signs, and nothing could be done. And it's devastating. Absolutely devastating.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So on to some lighter things. Let's talk about some stuff since our last episode. You know, we obviously posted some of the videos and footage and everything from our trip. Hope y'all have had the opportunity to take a look and enjoy. Kind of an interesting date last week on 12/2. That date was interesting because not only was it a palindrome, but it was also an ambigram. So you could read it forward to backwards, backward to forwards, or you could flip it upside down and it would be the same. So just kind of an interesting date. 12/2.
No, how do you say that? The other one.
Palindrome?
I know palindrome.
Hello there. This is Mark, your fat friend from the Fat and Black Connection. And I'm here to tell you about Anchor. If you haven't heard about it, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First of all, it's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many other services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Do me a favor and go download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started on your very own.
And we're back.
What in the world?
Evidently, we're not allowed to talk about ambigrams and
apparently not.
That was a weird one for me. So I will tell you, I have been having internet problems all morning, so I will take the onus that very well might have been me, but we are back, so sorry.
I was like, all of a sudden, like, I was like, what's that word again? And then all of a sudden it's like boop, and I was like, hello.
Yeah. So moving on, we still got to crunch everything in. So I posted an interesting decipher of Delta Omicron, which we had the Delta variant of COVID. And now we're moving into the Omicron phase, which is interesting because I don't know if you know this, but for whatever reason, the WHO skipped over two letters in the Greek alphabet to go to Omicron. Right. They claim that they skipped over nu because they thought people would be confused and think it's the new COVID rather than, and the other, I can't remember if it was law or yi. Sounded like an Asian, it sounded like an Asian last name. And so they were worried that it might offend some people.
Either that or cause the kind of issues that we had a couple months ago. I mean, I don't know if we're still, I'm sure we're still probably still having I haven't heard about them as much, I guess Asian hate, if you will, the attacks that were happening to some of some Asian Americans.
I haven't heard as much about that as we have in the past, but I'm sure it's still happening out there. And according to Brian, they didn't skip those letters. Those variants were already identified, and I don't think that's accurate. I read, and the WHO themselves said we skipped those. So
yeah, we skipped. Yeah.
I would suggest. Am I still on?
Yeah, you're still on.
Okay. I thought I had gotten disconnected again, so I'm glad I didn't. but anyways, Delta Omicron, when you scramble those letters up, can also spell media control.
I was like, uh-oh.
Which obviously, means nothing, right? Because Brian even says it also can spell clarinet doom. Yeah, okay. It could also spell Democrat lion. It's fun. To me, it's fun. Like, there are conspiracy theorists out there that are losing their mind, right? Because they're like, oh, this is the media, right?
Oh, no! Yeah.
Anti-vax, you know. but... TV. But I don't know. I thought it was funny,
Oh, I saw that and I was like, uh-oh. he's opened the door.
Yes, Pandora's box is open on the Fat and Black page. Also posted about Secrets of Harridge House. For those of you that have listened to the show or have been following, you know that I do some voiceover work for a podcast, a serial called Secrets of Harridge House, where I voice a character called LB Brandon Jr. It's a great show. James has enjoyed it. He wouldn't listen to it initially, and then he finally got into it and absolutely loves it now. But we have started season three. Like I said. And I last week recorded all of my voiceover work for the first half of the season. So I am done with my recording until likely middle of January, and then I'll do the second half of the season. But the creators were asked to join another podcast called The First Episode Of, where it kind of chronicles the creation of a podcast or a serial drama. And so one of the creators of Secrets of Harridge House, his name's Scott Young, and the audio producer Joe Bly, they were both asked to join this podcast and talk about Secrets of Harridge House. So that's kind of cool. Additionally, going along with Secrets of Harridge House, this last week there was another round of auditions for Harridge House for kind of a
hey guess who auditioned for that, bro?
Who?
This who? Guy.
Ah. Very good. I know you've said that you wanted to be a part of the show, and so I'm glad that you had an opportunity to audition. Have you heard anything?
Yeah. Not yet. I did get an email. I haven't checked. I saw an email that just popped up not too long ago. I haven't checked it yet. So.
Oh, okay. Well, you should look at that really quickly while I keep talking, and you can maybe give us some good news or maybe bad news. Maybe you didn't get cast.
Could
suck to be you. But while James is looking at that email, I also posted there was a cute image out there of this old grandma woman shopping in a grocery store, and she was trying to dress festive with her little tree brooch on her shoulder.
that was so good.
Except she looked more like a member of Starfleet than she did anything else. Additionally, so that huge was, news, huge news coming out of the Marvel Cinematic Universe this week. A couple of different things, but the one that I posted about was that Kevin Feige has confirmed that if we will see Daredevil in the Marvel Universe, it will be played by Charlie Cox. He didn't say when we'll see him, how we'll see him, but that if he is in the MCU, it will be Charlie Cox.
Yes. Thank God.
Oh, so I know that puts exciting. My mind at ease about that role.
Yeah.
Go ahead, James.
No, it was not an email. It was some other email. So it was.
Ah. Well, thanks for getting all of our hopes up. That email.
I know. I was actually kind of excited myself, and then we'll see. But yeah, no, it was. Okay. I was able to audition it, which was. I was just excited to be able to audition for something. Honestly, but no, it was great guys. I got to meet both of those guys, so I definitely look forward to hearing that that episode of first what you posted it. All right, we don't have a date or anything yet confirmed for them.
Show? Not yet. Nope. But okay. As soon as we get more info, we'll post it. I know that the first episode of season three of Secrets of Harridge House will be up in January. We've got a good timeline, and we're still shooting for it, and I think it's going to happen. Speaking of timeline, speaking of good things coming up, December 22nd, The Matrix Resurrections. The second trailer dropped just yesterday, and man, after the first trailer, I was kind of like, meh, okay, you know, I'm going to watch it because I was a huge fan of the Matrix movies, in the late 90s, early 2000s. But man, this trailer, it it hooked me. I am excited to see this film. I will not go see it in the theater. I'm not going to lie. I've got HBO Max. I'll watch it on HBO Max.
Yeah, see, that's might be one of those, like, if I'll watch it on there, and then if it's, you know, big enough, Tuesday.
There you go. Discount day at the movie theater. Also, going along with The Matrix, in just a few days, there is going to be a release. There's a gaming event coming up, I believe on Friday or this weekend, where Unreal Engine is going to be unveiling their new engine for gaming. And, you know, they're selling it as like the new way of storytelling, and that even like filmmakers could use this to have interactive movies where we as viewers could interact with the movie to make decisions or look at things from different angles. I don't know, but there is a download that is available right now. If you have a PS5 or an Xbox Series X, you know, I'm kind of disappointed that they're not doing anything for the PC, because I think for me, that's where I'm living right now. I have not gotten a PS5 or Xbox Series X yet, nor do I intend to get one anytime soon. They're just too hard to find, and people are trying to charge an arm and a leg for them, so no thank you. But they're the way that they're unveiling their new engine is through what they're calling the Matrix Awakens, which I don't know if this is going to be a new game. I don't know if this is just going to be kind of a standalone story. I have no idea, and they're really not giving much away about it. So personally, I'm super excited to check this out. If folks are interested, I can post more info about it.
When is it going down?
So you're interested, huh?
See, that's the thing, is the Unreal Engine. When I remember when that kind of, it was on, I remember like the first game I think I saw it on was an Xbox. What was that Xbox game? Gears of War. I think it was the first time I ever saw that Unreal Engine logo, and now it seems to be popping up in more and more places. So
I just posted a link to Matrix Awakens, an Unreal Engine 5 experience. So I just posted that on the Fat and Black page, direct link to unrealengine.com. Check it out after the show. I think it's going to be hot. I think, man, I don't know. I don't know. Let's just wait and see. Needless to say, we are running tight on time, so we're going to get into days 3 and 4 at Disneyland and California Adventure. So let's do that now.
Let's knock it out. Yeah.
So day 3, see, day Disneyland. Three.
Right. We got there again before rope drop.
Hanging out with our buddy Jim.
Yeah, good old Jim. And then, so basically they were like, you know, they dropped the ropes. And we had to get over to Peter Pan and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. Those are the first two that we had to hit out the box. I don't know if you guys saw the video after we got in that line. When we got in that line, it was still, I mean, we were a little ways back. But when
we got there with a quickness.
Yeah, we went around the castle, not through the castle. We went around the castle. And so like when we finally got there, there was already a line there. And I don't know, like I said, I don't know if you guys saw the video that Mark posted of the line afterwards. I mean, we're from where we were, it was already reached the castle, and I think was going into the castle just for Peter Pan.
Yes, by like, the time we got off the I did not got off of Peter Pan and went to go get in line for Toad, the line was inside of the castle on the drawbridge. Yeah,
I was like, bro, like this ride is not that. I mean, it don't get me wrong, it's a nostalgic ride, but like it's not that hot. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, dang, bro, like, so many so many people just yeah, for this so one thing. It was
something to bear in mind. This day, we had already gotten our passes for Rise of the Resistance. We were going to get to do that again. And we got earlier boarding passes this time. So we knew we were going to have to cram a lot in the morning before our boarding passes came up. So going into Disneyland Day 2, we needed to hit Peter Pan, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, the Carousel, and then head out to Toontown and hit Roger Rabbit and hit Gadget's Go Coaster.
Gadget's Go Coaster.
James had never done before. Keep that in mind. So,
yeah.
So we went straight to Peter Pan, and it was a mad dash. We did go through the castle technically. We went through the Snow White passage side. And so we went straight to Peter Pan. And even though we went straight there, we still had probably about a 10-12 minute wait. James is actually right. That line was crazy out to the drawbridge. We got on quick. We hopped over to Mr. Toad, and we were on that.
There was like no line minutes. There.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was like, and I think they were just opening it up pretty much.
And so this was my point to James. This is my point to anyone, is you've got to think about your return on investment. Or at least that's how I think about these rides. And, you know, I don't want to stand in line for Peter Pan for more than 15, 20 minutes, because it's a 2.5 minute ride. I need my return on investment. I don't want to put an hour into a ride to get 2.5 minutes of a ride.
Or 2 minutes. So, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
So that's why I said, let's, because I remember when I first said it to you on Monday, our first day at Disneyland, I said, no, we're going to go hit that first thing Wednesday morning. And you're like, really? Peter Pan? And I'm like, trust me. That's the only way to do it.
I remember when we, on day one, we had looked at those lines, because it was like, and Peter Pan line was ridiculously long. Mr. Toad's Wild Ride was ridiculously long. I was like, bro, what? Like,
well, you got to remember,
I didn't quite understand it, but
you got to remember there are only two rides at Disneyland, and Mr. Toad's Wild Ride is one of them.
Wild Ride, right?
Yeah, and then of course the only other ride in Disneyland is
Big Thunder Mountain,
because it's the wildest ride. The wildest ride in the wilderness.
shout out to Jessica on that one. She dropped that on us.
I mean, I knew that. I'm the one who said.
Oh.
She
said only two rides.
And well, I said there are two, and she said, well, which ones? Because I think she was surprised by the fact that I knew that. And I said Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and then I had to think about the other one. And she said, because we were in line for Big Thunder. But anyways, so we hopped on Mr. Toad, got off. It was a 5 minute wait for a 2 minute ride. Honestly was frustrating. I don't know if you remember, but while we were on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, it stopped.
It stopped.
And of course, for me, I got stopped in hell, where they got that room cranked up super hot and humid. So I was like, are you kidding me? The one place.
I think I was at the entrance to hell.
Yeah, I was in hell. Man, that was not fun. Brian does say
that Peter Pan
ride is a jam. So
that was to make up for the cold air at
Toy Story
California Adventure the day before.
Toy Story Midway Mania.
Toy Story Mania.
Yeah. So we get off Mr. Toad, head over to the carousel because we got to do it. Hop on the carousel.
Got to do it.
Do a little whirly bird and. There was nothing too spectacular there. Hopped off, and then it was like, all right, let's go out to Toontown so we can kill that. We get out to Toontown, and it's not open.
Oh, wait. Before we had that's right. Never mind. Just kidding. Yeah, we went to Toontown, and they were like, oh, it doesn't open till 9. And we were like, huh?
So we're looking at the clock, and it's like, okay, it's 8:35. So we've been in the park for 35 minutes or so, and we've got 25 minutes away for Toontown. I am not standing here. Let's go hit up Matterhorn.
Right.
Yeah. So we rush back over.
Back to Matterhorn. That was what? Maybe 10 minutes? I think it was probably less than that.
Yeah, it was about 10 minutes. We hopped on, hit up the ride, get off, and it was like, okay, let's go talk. We notice over close by the Matterhorn, there's an area where they have people for if you need information, if you have questions. So I, after our experience on Tuesday with the turkey leg and James, I wanted to make sure that turkey leg was going to happen. So we went over to talk to these fine folks at the information stand and, you know, informed them of our situation at DCA. And they were like, okay, well, there's a turkey stand right here. Edelweiss Snacks, I believe is what it's called. So we saw where the booth was. It wasn't open yet. I think it opened at 10. So I was like, okay, well, we're not going to do it until after then, of course. And at this point it was like, okay, I think it's time to head out to Toontown. We might be waiting for 5 minutes, but let's go because we can knock out those two rides with a quickness.
Right.
So Brian says, there's some YouTube videos that explain why the Peter Pan queue is always so long, mostly due to a slow turnaround. I think there's some truth there, obviously, that the queue is rough. And it has, yeah. I think out of all of the dark rides, I think it has the fewest ride vehicles. So I know that I know that the load capacity, the maximum riders per hour is low compared to the other dark rides, but I still don't know. I think there's still more to it. I think Peter Pan is probably just the favorite of the dark rides in Fantasyland. And I think that plays in as well. I mean, but
yeah, it's fun.
So we headed out to Toontown and we ended up having to wait a couple minutes for them to let us in, and we head in and it was like, all right, let's hit up Roger Rabbit. We were the first ones in line. They made us go through the whole queue.
Go through
like, really? You can't just open this little gate right here and let me walk right on?
Yeah, I was like we went, we had to go through the entire thing.
And ooh, you know, ooh. I like that ride queue, but if I'm just going to be walking through it, I can't enjoy it. So just let me on.
Yeah.
So we ride Roger Rabbit. That was fun as always. They are going to be making changes and updating it, for the new Toontown reopening. You know, hopefully they don't change it too much, but I have heard that they're trying to make Jessica Rabbit to no longer be like a damsel in distress, but to somehow be a heroine. And I'm like, that's not the story. So
yeah,
I don't know.
She was a DID, damsel in distress.
So we'll see.
But not really. Cause I mean, like, you know, she did use a frying pan, knock out Roger, put him in the trunk so he didn't get hurt.
This is true, but she's definitely not a heroine, you know.
Yeah, more she's a lightweight femme fatale.
Yeah. So we finish Roger Rabbit's cartoon spin, head on over to Gadget's Go Coaster. No line, walk straight on. You know.
Yeah. I'd never been on this before because I always thought I was too tall for it, and yes, I was too tall, but.
Man, there are other rides where you were more cramped, let's be honest.
True that. Very true. So yeah, this was actually...
Considering it's a ride that was really designed for kids, primarily, you still were pretty comfortable on there compared to some others.
Yeah. And actually, the funny part about that was, I think there was... at the same time we got on, I think a mom and her two kids got on, or one kid.
Yeah, there was. I don't remember. There was like, I think it's six cars, and we were all but one full. So.
Yeah. Anyway, so like we get on the first ride. We go around, and I was like, this is actually kind of fun. And so when we got back to the station, there was no line. So I was like, we were like, let's go again. And so they were like, they kind of looked at each other and like, okay, I mean, you guys want to get off? And, you know, the mom asked her kids if they wanted to go again. And they were like, yeah. And so like, we went around again. It was, and so, you know, James and Mark making that Disney magic happen for others.
Absolutely. So, and I've been on that ride before, and I enjoy it. It's cute, it's fun, it's quick. If as long as there's not a line, then I
Most
definitely
people aren't
enjoy
going to
it.
know who Gadget is, and most people aren't going to know who Gadget is in a couple of years.
Yeah. So we get off. We decide to spend a couple of minutes just looking around Toontown, taking some photos, taking some videos. And then it was like, all right, it's time to hit up Rise of the Resistance. Our boarding pass is coming up soon, so we head on over to Galaxy's Edge to Batuu, and
I
you
thought we
look
did the turkey
confused.
before that.
Nope, we did the turkey after, because while we were in Batuu after Rise of the Resistance, we ordered the turkey legs mobile style.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was just confused because I was like, I thought we did that. Yeah, anyways.
Nope, we hit
Yikes.
it up Rise of the Resistance again. We also went and stood online for the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah. Yeah, we did
So
that.
as soon as we got off Millennium Falcon, I jumped on the and this time we got to be the pilots, which
Yeah.
went exceptionally well, I think, for us.
Right. It was that we
Unfortunately,
had our engineers and our gunners were we had children. We had children
yeah.
and their parents who spoke little English, so
Any?
I
Little,
think
if
well
any.
he, I yeah he I remember he said he said that we did good at the end, the dad. But yeah, so
I will
but it
say
was
it was definitely 100% more fun flying that thing, and I think
oh
in
yeah, oh
the
yeah.
future we need a group of six, so we need four more people, and
Yeah.
I've got to fly. I think I might want to try your side, because when we flew, I did the left right, you did the up down. I think I'd like to try the up down next time, see how that goes.
Yeah, because I think I got you might be better with that just because you're used to you've done the inversion stuff before. Yeah,
Yes.
because that was an inverse so but left and right you can't change those, so
Yes, left is
that
left
would
and right
probably be
is
good
right,
for
so.
right, you can't change those. So I mean I think that would be I would definitely like to do that one. But yeah, no, definitely we need to have a group of six. And so that we're all on the same page, you know, because then maybe, just maybe, we can grab both of those things. Like I heard, and I don't know, like I think somebody was telling us it's pretty much darn near impossible to grab both, but
Yeah,
I'm sure
unless
it
you
can be
have
done.
a group of six that knows what they're doing and is working well together, is what I've heard.
Yeah.
It happens, but it's got to be a group of six that's together and knows what they're doing. I've heard no first timers have gotten both containers. I've heard that no groups, broken groups, have ever gotten both containers. So we'll get there.
Right.
You know, really quickly,
Yeah.
just dropping it. You know, we are planning a Walt Disney World trip for 2023. So we are doing April, late April 2023. We're about 16 months out. So we are planning that for those of you that might be interested. Obviously quite a ways away, but it comes quick. So if you
Yeah.
have any interest in seeing Walt Disney World and meeting up with the Fat and Black Connection, let us know. Shoot us
All day.
messages. We'll let you know kind of what our plans are looking like. But so after we finish Smuggler's Run, it was like, all right, Turkey Leg's gonna be open by now. It's time. And of course, James, Mr. Excuses. So I said, you know what? I'm ordering it. I will pay for it. I will pay for this turkey leg.
Oh,
We need to make this happen.
wow.
So I will pay for your
Yes.
turkey leg. So I go in the app, and I said, okay, what kind do you want? They had two choices. They had just the, you know, the steamed roasted, or they had barbecue. And you know,
BBQ.
of course, James wants barbecue, so I got James a barbecue, and I got myself a, you know, regular, you know, roasted. And I said, we want it now. So we hoofed it back over to Idlewise Snacks and got some
Yes.
turkey legs, went and sat down on the promenade area of It's a Small World, And there is a video on our page of James eating that turkey leg. It is gross. It is painful. Oh, yeah. James is gross when he eats food, especially if it's on a bone. Somehow, some way, this guy is able to get his teeth out past his lips. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how that's humanly possible, but he can do it, folks. Watch the video. It's also entertaining because you would think, if the way he's eating, you would think food gets stuck between his teeth, but his teeth just have enough of a gap that nothing can stay in there. It just kind of falls right out. So it's painful to watch, but you got to watch it. You got to see it. So James finally, with me paying for it and me making it happen, James finally had a turkey leg. And he did eat it in a very efficient manner. The bone was clean. All that was left was bone and gristle. So I got to give him credit. And I think it took him about 4.5 minutes. So he ate it pretty quick.
I did under five.
Yeah.
I did under five.
I think if he really wanted to, if he let it sit and cool for a little bit, and if he really wanted to, I think you could have done it in less than three. So.
Yeah. You know, the thing was, is that also there was a part of me, like, I really wanted to enjoy it too. Mm-hmm. So like, that's, what, but yeah, no, I'm talking about like that. Like, I remember when I opened it up and I took that first bite and like, a good portion of meat just fell off the bone. I was like, oh, this is going to be good.
Yes.
This is going to be good.
And you said it was good. You said it was delicious. Great, great choice. Oh,
it was amazing.
Definitely something you'll be doing again, I'm sure. I got a regular turkey leg, and I didn't want to waste the barbecue sauce because I didn't want to eat the skin. I'm not a big fan of skin in general. I'll eat it, but I prefer crispy skin, like if it's, you know, KFC or something like that. I'm not a big fan of just loose, flappy skin. So I pulled my skin off, ate my leg. I had to wash my hands 3 times. I had to wash my hands because the first time was because I had used some paper towels to try in, and all my fingers were just
and
covered.
It got on your finger, yeah.
So the first time I washed my hands was just to get that stuff off. Then the second time was to kind of get the majority of the grease off. And then the third time was to get everything else off. 3 hand washes to get my hands feeling. And I still felt like I could wash them again.
Yeah, no, I definitely. Because I don't know what it was with that bathroom. But, like, yeah, I don't know what's and with those turkey legs, too. Like, that paper towel just sticks to your finger. I was like, this is – what? What? I think Disney needs to invest in wet naps for for the turkey legs.
I agree. If you're selling something like turkey legs or ribs or chicken wings, anything that's bone where you're going to get your hands in there, I really feel like they should be offering some kind of wet nap. And come on, it's Disney. You can do this. So so needless to say, the rest of the day at Disneyland was just – redoing rides, walking around, really just taking in the park and enjoying it because we had already done everything. Or so we thought. We realized that somehow we completely forgot to ride the Astro Orbiters. So we decided, okay, let's head over to Tomorrowland. Let's do Space Mountain again because we love it. Let's do it now. Let's get it early before it gets too packed. So we hit that up.
The longest queue. That was we went through a portion of the queue I had never actually even seen before.
Yeah, it was. I think that might have been the longest line we stood on for the entire 4 days we were there, and it was close to an hour from the time we got in line to the time we got on the ride. But at least, you know, they keep it moving. At no point did I feel like we were really stagnant for a long time. Where Toy Story and Midway Mania, I felt like there were long pockets of time where we were just standing in the same place. So,
well, the thing was is that if that ride was having the same issues we had it was stalling again.
Yeah, when we rode Midway Mania, it stalled at least 4 times. So, where Space Mountain likely didn't have any issues, so it was nice. It kept going. Then it was like, okay, let's do the Astro Orbiters. It has a long line. It's probably going to be about a 40 minute wait. But it is what it is. We've got to do it. It's the only thing we've got left. So You know, we hit that up and got it over with. And then we spent the rest of the day just redoing rides that we really wanted to do. We hit up the fireworks that night, which was a lovely show. You know, I didn't really want to. I was kind of over it at that point. I was tired. Unfortunately, I think we've got a wrap. And what we'll do when we come back next week, or maybe later this week, we'll do a special bonus episode to just get this thing finished. We still got to talk about our evening at Disneyland, because we had an amazing, lucky experience at a fantastic restaurant. So I think we have to talk about that. And we've got to talk about...
Yeah.
So I think what we do is we wrap here. We come back maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. We can try and come back and finish this thing off, because we really need to get it done. So maybe we come back and do a special broadcast to finish this thing off finally. So you got any closing thoughts before we go?
No, man, I'm actually just, almost forgot about our experience there. So I'm excited. Hey, we definitely need to cover that. That was amazing. So
yes. So teaser, when we come back, either this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, we are going to come back at some point this week before our next weekly broadcast. And we're going to do a special episode where we finish off our day at Disneyland and then talk about our final day at California Adventure. That way, next week, we can come at you with just fresh takes. No longer talking about this, because we've stretched it out, I think, about as far as we can go. So,
yeah.
With that, I guess I'll say it's been real. It's been fun, but it hasn't been real fun.
All right, guys. See you next. Well, see you soon, actually.
And we're back. This is part three of today's Fat and Black Spectacular. we went live earlier and somehow got disconnected. So that was part one. Part two was when we finally got reconnected. And part three is now that finally we get to do the rest of today's episode. I apologize. I've been having a lot of internet issues for like 2 weeks now. It's super frustrating. AT&T, get your act together, because you're frustrating the heck out of me.
Come on.
So we left off earlier with the tease for... a fantastic evening that we had at Disneyland. But before that fantastic evening started, we did have what I like to call the train ride from hell.
It started off good.
Yeah, we decided to, well, we started to take the train from Main Street. This is one of my traditions. Normally I like to do this first thing, first day, but you know, given what we wanted to accomplish, it just wasn't realistic. So
right.
It needed to be done. You know, we had done every other ride in the park, every other attraction, everything. So we had to do the train. And I like to start at Main Street and get off at Main Street, you know, do what they call the Grand Circle Tour, one full loop. And so we started at Main Street, and when we got on the train, there was a parade going on that was coming into Main Street area. And so it was great timing, because the streets were lined. I figured we'll get on train, no problem. There'll probably be hardly anybody on it.
Wrong.
Boy, was I wrong. Yeah. So I have never seen a train, a full train, come into Main Street and almost no one get off. It was crazy. The train was, I would say, 95%+ full, and maybe 5% got off.
Yeah, if that.
Would you say that's accurate?
If that. I mean, like, there were, like, pretty much everybody was staying on that train. Don't know why, don't know what was going on, but they were staying on that train.
Yeah, it was very annoying. But we got on. We got some cramped seats, but we took them, because why not? We were in the back row. I live streamed almost the whole train ride.
Yeah, we had to pause. We had to pause. Main Street. Yeah.
We left Main Street. We went into Nolan Square. No problems. except for some reason at Nolan Square, we got held up there sitting at that station for almost 10 minutes. Not sure why, but it wasn't a huge deal. For me, the part I was the most excited about was the next section from Nolans to Toontown, because they had redone the tracks in that area where for the first time ever you had a left turn. So I was super excited to see that. And the waterfalls lining the trains now, the tracks now. And so, you know, the waiting the 10 minutes didn't seem like a big deal because, you know, I was excited for this next part. And of course, going through Splash Mountain and seeing the inside of that is always a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
So we got moving and I noticed that the train was moving pretty slow. It wasn't going for me what I thought would be its normal speed, but, you know, again, not a big deal. I figured, okay, maybe it's because of these new turns up here. They can't go as fast as it used to, which would make sense. You're doing a right and then a left and right. And so, you know, okay, no big deal. It was amazing to see the new track, to see the new area that was built out. And I think it looks great. I think the waterfalls look great. I think they did a really good job there. What do you think, James?
Yeah, I said, I've only done the circle tour maybe like once before, so it wasn't something that I really noticed. But yeah, no, it's really nice up there. It was really nice.
So we get into Toontown Station, and I forgot to mention when we stopped at Nolans, again, we're a full train.
Like nobody got
off. Maybe 5% got off.
I don't even think that. I only remember seeing. Was it the woman in the back in the wheelchair? I think she was like one of the only people that got off there. And that's, I know we had to wait to get the ramp and everything to help her get off. And then that was like, I think that was about it. Her and like, she had like four people in her group. So yeah, it was crazy.
It was crazy. And this was the first time I have ever seen a line going to one of the train stations.
Yeah.
Like, it's not uncommon to see some people milling about hanging out at the train station waiting for the next train.
There was a line
at Nolan Square.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was mind-blowing. So we pull into Toontown and there's a line there. The whole station is full and it's basically back to the turnstile.
And people are still trying to come in.
And I'm like, what is going on? Why are there so many people trying to ride this train? So we're at Toontown Station. This is when I ended up having to cut the video because we ended up sitting at Toontown Station for almost 30 minutes. I have never seen that happen. They didn't give us any explanation.
Yeah. The only thing that I can think of, and I think we talked about this, they were doing some recording down there at in front of A Small World. That was for their holiday special. Now, that's the only thing that I can think of that would have held it up. But the fact of the matter, it shouldn't have been held up that long. It's either, you know, like if they're getting ready to perform, cool, let the train go, let them perform, and it'll be a while before the train comes back. But for some reason, they decided to hold the train up.
Yeah, so they did say, hey, you know, if you want to get off, we'll let you off. By the time they said that, we had already been sitting there for 20 minutes or so.
Yeah.
And I personally felt like we're pot committed. We've got to stay now. Because they did say, oh, it'll only be a couple more minutes. So it's like, well, we put 20 in. What's a couple more minutes, right?
Yeah, turned out to be like 10 more minutes, but...
But yeah, after about a 30-minute delay, the train got going again. So we went from Toontown to Tomorrowland, and it was smooth, no issues. Felt like it was about normal speed. Got into Tomorrowland. There was no line there, but there was quite a few people at the station. But it wasn't. I wouldn't say a line back.
It wasn't nearly as bad. Yeah, and this is where a good number of people actually got off at Tomorrowland.
Yeah, I think people were just fed up at that point. They decided, nah, I'm done.
I can walk faster.
And luckily for us, the people that were in the row in front of us cleared out, so we were able to move up to the front row to get a better view for going through the Grand Canyon and prehistory exhibit. So that was kind of cool. We moved up to the front and the train started going from Tomorrowland to Main Street. And I haven't, there have been some updates and changes made to that exhibit. And so it was nice to see those updates for me. I think, James, this was your first time seeing this, right?
No, I've seen the prehistory. Like I said, I've done the circle tour like once before. So like I had seen that before. Cause what I was telling you is that when I was a kid, I had these placemats and they had the dinosaurs on there. And I was like, where the heck are these dinosaurs?
That's right.
I was like, where the heck are these dinosaurs? Like, I've never seen this before. And it was like the old, you know, it was like an old school placemat for Disneyland. So this was back in like the 80s. So So I didn't know about that until like about 20 years ago, I think I went and I finally did that. And I was like, oh, this is what that was. And so, but yeah, they definitely did some updates to that, clean updates.
Yeah. Yeah. It looked good. It felt very true to what it's supposed to be, but it also had some really good updates, I felt like. So I appreciated that.
They definitely cleaned it up quite a bit.
So we pull into Main Street Station and there's still a line at the station. Kind of crazy. And as we were in Tomorrowland, you know, James and I had been talking about being a little hungry and, you know, let's, what are we going to do? And I had mentioned, you know, why don't it's probably not going to happen, but let's go stop by Blue Bayou. See if they're doing standby at all, you know, or what the deal is there. Cause I had tried for weeks to get us reservations and no luck whatsoever.
Cause so I know when we talked about it prior, we were like, okay, so can we make a reservation for here? No. Or let's try time, date, nothing. Time, date, nothing. And this was like four or five restaurants that we tried when we were finalizing our plans to go down. So
yes. Now, something that we have left out of this day, and I feel like we have to mention, a friend of ours from back in the day in the theater world who works at Disneyland, her name's Jessica, she was gracious enough to take us to the Disney employee store, which is off-site. It's not at Disneyland. The only way to get in is to be a Disney employee or be with a Disney employee. I had never been there before. This was my first time. And so the one thing Jessica told us before we got there was everything is half off or more. What? She did preface. She said, you know, a lot of the stuff, it's going to be slim pickings, you know, there are going to be shirts that are only an extra small size. There's going to be, you know, stuff that's 2-3 years old because the majority of the stuff that's in this store is stuff that they couldn't sell in the parks. They just had overstock and now they're letting the employees buy it for half off or more. So I was expecting a shop, you know, I don't know, maybe the size of, I don't know, like a Spencer's Gift in the mall, maybe a little bigger. I wasn't expecting what we walked into, which was a business office building. Yeah. The entire floor, first floor, was just this huge store with, I would say, close to 1,000 items.
At least. I mean, between like jackets, shirts, onesies, like little pins, trinkets, like whatever.
Artwork. I mean, it was home goods.
It was nuts. I was surprised.
There was a little bit of everything. There was memorabilia. There was, you know, there was a little bit of everything. And so from that perspective, I'm in, you know, Disney store heaven because I now know everything in here is at least half off. And I had to call my wife before we went to this store to warn her that
I'm buying stuff.
I'm probably going to be spending some money. Now I will say coming out on the other side, I didn't spend anywhere near as much as I thought I could. To be fair, I didn't buy everything that I wanted to buy. I bought some good things. But the big picture here that I want to get to is, you know, we looked around, we saw a lot of cool things, and I came across an area where there were Tommy Bahama shirts. Now, for anybody who's known me a long time, you know that there was a phase of my life when I went by Harry, and I also had a wrestling name, Hawaiian Style Harry. And the reason for that was because I wore Hawaiian shirts every day. Literally. I mean, yeah. In high school, aside from like maybe my senior year, I wore Hawaiian shirts pretty much every single day. And yeah, I don't wear them that much anymore. Occasionally, but not that much. And so when I've always wanted a Tommy Bahama Disney shirt. I've seen them in the parks before. But they're so expensive. I mean, they're anywhere between $100 to $250.
Yeah. We're talking high tag value on those.
Yeah. So when I came across these shirts, I'm looking at them and it, at first glance, I was like, nah. But then as I started looking at it more, I was like, this is a really cool design. It's a coral shirt with coral thread. So you have to look really closely at it to see the detail and the designs. And if you look closely, you see like Mickey hanging out in a hammock or Mickey with a surfboard. Yeah. And so, and they had sizes that would actually work for me, which I hadn't come across a whole lot of.
Yeah. There were a lot of the shirts they had in there. I mean, like they had really cool shirts, but they were like small, medium, extra small. I was like, bruh. I was so mad because some of the stuff I was like, oh, this is dope. And then I was like, oh, can't wear that. So,
yeah. So with this, it had the sizes that worked for me. And so I called James over. I'm like, bro, look at this. Look at this shirt. Look how clean it is. It's half off. Like, you know, I think the original price tag was $125. And I think they had it listed for like $65.
So
I'm like, bro, you and I should both get one of these. These could be the official, you know, Fat and Black Disneyland shirts, you know, whatever. And it took a little convincing, but James finally caved and decided to do it. So we got our matching shirts, and we did some more shopping. I bought some shirts for my kid. I bought a hoodie sweater for my wife.
Yeah, I bought some pens. And actually, Jessica had to buy me this pen because one of the pens was employee
cast
only.
Exclusive.
And so I wanted it. I couldn't buy it myself. So she actually bought it for me. So I appreciate that from her. So that was, sorry, recycling.
Yeah, of course it happens. So, you know, it was very, very nice of her to take us in there.
Yeah, that was dope.
And so ultimately, when we went back to the park, we changed into these shirts. So here we are, you know, a fat guy, a black guy. We're in matching coral shirts. We go to the Blue Bayou. So we take the train back to New Orleans Square. We walk over to the Blue Bayou, and we go up to the counter. I'm like, hey, is there any chance you guys are doing standby, or, you know, can we, you know, make a reservation today? Because I couldn't get anything through the app. And they were like, what's your name? What's your number? Hold on a second. Okay. They come back and they're like, hey, come in here, have a seat. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's kind of weird. You know, maybe it's only going to be like 10 minutes, 15 minutes or something. Within 2-3 minutes, they were back. Yeah. And they were like, come on, we got a table for you. What? Okay. So they start walking us in, and there's a lot of empty tables. So I guess it makes sense that they were able to get us seated. So they take us all the way in, all the way, pretty much as far as you can go from the entrance to the dining room.
To the greatest seats of all time.
Waterfront seating.
Along the water for pirates.
Yes. Waterfront seating where James, as we've talked about, loves to have his micro friendships. And so he was engaging and talking to every ship that passed by. But I started realizing as we're sitting there and we're going through this meal, and it was a delicious meal, expensive meal, but delicious meal, second best meal I had all year. And the only reason it wasn't the first best meal I had all year was because
Gallagher's
went to Gallagher's at New York Steakhouse. So, you know,
but at the same time, I think it was also because it was the what made it so good too is that it was in a place that we tried to get in, we wanted to get into, and we had primo seating. I mean, it doesn't get better. I mean, it doesn't really get much better than that. So I think the experience made the food taste even better.
What did we have, James?
Oh, dang. I know I had the jambalaya. I mean, thick pieces of shrimp. Good savory, sauce and everything else. And then Mark. Oh, and then we had asparagus, because we pretty much, for some reason, we always have asparagus with meals.
And that stuff was delicious.
Oh, that was really good. And then I can't remember what you had.
I had the Monte Cristo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the Monte Cristo.
Delicious.
And it was bomb. That was good too. He gave me a little piece of that. That was tasty. Can never go. Yeah, you can't really go wrong with Monte Cristo.
We had some beers, which were good.
Yeah, the beers. They
went well. We had Stella Artois. Or no, we didn't have Stella. That was at Gallagher's. What did we have?
I think it was just a. I think
it was a craft beer.
It was. I think it was a Hef, wasn't it, or something like that? I think it might have been.
Yeah, maybe. I don't remember now. It was good. It was delicious. And then, of course, we had dessert. I had to get the chocolate cake, which was absolutely delicious. And of course, let James have some. And it came with some gold leaf on it, which James got to eat the gold leaf. How did that, did it make your doo-doo twinkle, by the way?
No doo-doo twinkle.
No twinkly doo-doo.
No, not unfortunately. That'd have been actually, that would have been a picture worthy. That would have been a picture worthy doo-doo.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So, needless to say, blown away by this experience, because we weren't expecting it. And so I was fully prepared to not eat a Blue Bayou on this trip. But fantastic meal, fantastic experience. The atmosphere was amazing. The servers were good. Our server went to lunch, didn't tell us.
Yeah.
So there was a long period of time at the end.
We
didn't see anyone.
Yeah, nobody.
I was like, oh, is this meal free?
Which would have been.
I did start to notice during the meal though that there were people looking at us, and I started to realize, oh my gosh, we're in matching coral Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
People must think we're a gay couple, which is fine. I'm not. I have no qualms with that, but I questioned, because they did ask us when we went to our table. I started putting two together because they asked us when they took us to our table.
Are you guys celebrating,
Celebrating anything today? And I think we should have said yes, because we probably would have got free dessert. But
maybe
to the same extent, like, I think they gave us that great table and got us sat really quick because they thought we were a cute gay couple.
I don't know. It was funny.
I'll take it.
But it was one of those things. It was like, okay. Oh man. Yeah, it was priceless. Absolutely
so
priceless.
So then the only other major thing of note from that evening is we ended up deciding to go back out to Batu to see how Galaxy's Edge looked at night. And we went out there and it looks awesome. It's spectacular. Oh. It's very enjoyable. We were just hanging out and enjoying the atmosphere, and I think it was fun. I tried the green milk, too keen on it.
Yeah.
But, it was fine. It wasn't great. I think my wife would really like it because it did seem to have like a green tea type base. But what did end up happening,
a little while,
where we got super lucky yet again, is we got to go into the cantina.
Bro.
The music
legitimate
was hot. The drinks were hot. The atmosphere. I felt like I was like, if I worked at Disneyland, this is where I'd come for my drinks after shift. You know what I mean? Like when I think back to my time in the restaurant industry, like after I got off shift, this is where I'm going. Like this is a legit spot. Yeah, it's expensive as all get out, but
I almost expected somebody to come up to me and go, I don't like your face. My friend doesn't like it either. I mean, like it was I mean, this place was amazing.
Yes, it was. That's it. It was amazing. I will say we ended up spending just about the same amount of money at the cantina as we did at Blue Bayou.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything. But for the atmosphere, for the ambiance, for everything, I think it's priced right. I don't think it is expensive, and I'm not going to question that. But if you want to enjoy yourself and really, as a true Star Wars fan, and just sit and take something in, it's great. And getting to see DJ Rex, it's nice to see that guy got a new job.
Yeah, you know, because when you know, I guess you crash one too many times, boom, you get, you know, and you land off world. I guess you go into work. They're going to put you at work somehow. And he's got a good mix, good mix. You can actually check out on Spotify and on YouTube Music. Just shout out.
The music is hot.
Look, let me tell you something, though. The drinks are... Behold, I mean, the cast. Okay, first off, the cast members that they have as bartenders are amazing. What's his name? K7 or K9 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was he was funny, and he was very personable. Had jokes for days with us, but. The drinks that these guys make are, I don't know where they came up with these. It's just they do the pours and stuff like that. It was already kind of made up for them. But man, these drinks were crazy. My last drink that I had there had had a flower in it. And you could eat the flower. And of course I had to. I'm just like these drinks, the way they looked and everything else, it was... Oh my God. Spot on.
Yeah. I thought it was a great experience. I will definitely check it out again. And then after that, it was time for some fireworks.
Yeah.
And you know, like I mentioned earlier today, by the time we got to the fireworks, I was exhausted. I was over it. We'd done everything we wanted to do. We had done all of the rides, you know, that we wanted to do a second time. We'd done those. I was perfectly content with going back to the hotel room and calling it a day before the fireworks. But James convinced me. We found a good spot near the castle in the central.
But look, let's start off with what happened prior to that. So we were sitting down. We decided, I was like, yo, let's go over here. It's right along a fence. We can probably kind of sit on the fence and watch the fireworks from here. We'll be good. So then we see one of their cast members come by, and we were like, yo, can we stay here for the fireworks or whatever? And he's like, hold on, let me go check. And then he tells us we can't. So we were like, all right, cool. Then we'll find another spot. So we found a spot like right on the street, you know, looking up at the castle's right there. And so we're like, okay, cool. We'll post here. Then they start roping stuff off. The section that we were at before, we would have been totally fine. I was mad. I was kind of mad about that.
That was frustrating.
And then then Mark had to go to the bathroom. So I'm sitting there and like I'm trying, you know, I'm trying to keep a spot, you know, keep our spot kind of cleared up, whatever. And like, I'm like, yo, where's this dude at? Like, he's been gone for like a good few minutes. Like, you know, like I know the bathroom isn't super close, but it's like, you know, not to where it would take him this long to get back. So Mark, why don't you tell him the story of when you were trying to get back to the spot?
Yeah. So, you know, I knew that we still had about 20 minutes or so before the fireworks. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to go. Cause I don't want to have to be running in the middle. And I know it's hell after the show's over to try and get anywhere. So, let me go now. So I go back to the restrooms that are in Adventureland, right past the Tiki Room. And when I come out, they are not letting... First of all, to get to those restrooms, there was one way in. And the only way to get to those restrooms is you had to go in Frontierland and then cut across. They wouldn't let you go straight into Adventureland. Adventureland was an out only. Okay. So I went in through Frontierland, went over to the restrooms, hit them up. Didn't take long, you know. It's not like I had to drop a deuce or anything. So I come back, and again, they're only letting you go out through Adventureland. And so I'm coming out, and I'm like, hey, my buddy's right there. I can have him wave at you. Can I go through this rope and go there? And they're like, no, unfortunately, you have to go all the way down there to come back. So I had to literally walk about halfway down Main Street so that I could turn around and come back up another direction to get back to where James was. It took me almost that entire 20 minutes to get to the restroom and back. And it's not like by that point, there people were pretty much posted up where they were going to be. So it wasn't like there was a lot of traffic. It's just literally I had to walk that far to get back to our spot. It was super frustrating. And the fireworks show, you can see we live streamed it. It's posted up on our page. But it was a nice show.
What about those random fireworks that went off prior?
Yeah, that was a little weird. As we were standing there waiting, all of a sudden just random fireworks started shooting off, and it's like, what is going on? There was no music, there was no announcements or anything. It just pew, pew.
Yeah.
Premature? Not sure what
multiple times. Not just like
twice.
It was like it could have probably been its own separate little show.
Yeah, it was like a mini fireworks show. It's weird. Now what I will say is after the show, it was very cool that they are opening up a walkway behind Main Street stores to get all the way down to the front entrance, basically.
Yeah.
I had never been down this way. It runs along the side of Jungle Cruise, so you could see back where they're parking some of the boats. They've got a lot of the old school art for the rides hanging back there, which we took pictures of. That to me was one of the coolest experiences of the whole trip, is getting to see a part of the park I've never been.
That's something that Disney tries to keep that magic so tight that for them to open that back way for people to get, you know, back to the entrance, that's a huge deal. Cause that's letting people, that's behind the scenes. Like, you don't really ever get to see that. There's a couple attractions that you will see, like some of the backstage stuff, but they do a good job of covering it up with bushes and things like that, so you don't get a full view. But this was something that was kind of just unheard of, and you know, so yeah, it's pretty dope.
Yeah, so that was cool, and pretty much that wrapped up our day three. We went back to the hotel. I believe this was the day you met up with some friends that were in town, so you spent a little bit of time with them.
Yeah,
and I went back to the room, and I was like, I'm just going to conk. So I got back to the room, called my wife, talked to her and the kid, and I conked out. I was done. And I decided, you know, also before then, I was like, I want to get as packed up as I can be, so that way Thursday, our final day there, once it's time to go, I didn't want to be scrambling last minute or anything. So I got all my bags packed up. I only had out, you know, the clothes I was wearing, the clothes I was going to wear in the morning.
Yep.
Otherwise, everything was packed up, ready to go. And I knocked out, got up Thursday morning, loaded up the cars, you know, had some quick breakfast in the room, and headed back over to California Adventure for our final day.
Yep.
Walk us through it.
So we got over there. Actually, we got in a little bit faster this time, which was nice. We went straight over to, where did we go? Oh yeah. We went over to Guardians of the Galaxy again. I think that was like the first, that we did that. That was the first thing that we did. We kind of, you know, did one more look around Avengers Campus, and then we moved on to Cars Land. Now, Cars Land apparently doesn't open until like 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. Well,
It's
the land opens. It's the Radiator Springs Racers
racers.
specifically don't open till 9 o'clock.
And so like we walk over there and there's like this kind of big kind of glob of people just kind of standing around, and we're like, what the heck's going on over here? So we kind of just got in line, and we're, and Mark is really good at this. He'll maneuver himself in, and then once they drop the rope, like you've never seen a big dude move this fast. I'm talking about like he'll just kind of snake his way through, and it's like it's amazing to watch. It's like if you ever see it, it's something to behold. So he kind of maneuvers his way through, and so we were actually near the front of the line. We were in like the first, I think one of the first couple cars that went out
I
for
was in the second car that left.
yeah so,
Weren't we in the same car?
we were in the same car, so like
Yes.
this time
So
we
we were in
were.
the second car.
yeah
Yeah.
so yeah it was like cool. And then so we did that. Then we went back over, did single rider for Incredicoaster again. We kind of walked around Pixar Pier little bit. We tried to go get a beer before that. We tried to go get a beer, but they didn't open up until like 10:30 or something like
Weren't
that.
open
So,
yet.
yeah. So we were like, oh well. So we went over to Radiator Springs,
Hey,
right? Or not
let's go
Radiator
get a
Springs. We went
corn
over to
dog.
Pixar Pier.
Let's go get a
Oh
corn
yeah.
dog. You wanted the hot link, and I was like, I want
Yeah.
to try just a hot dog or a corn dog.
Poor
So
dog.
let's go over there.
Closed.
Not open yet.
Was after Incredicoaster. And so we went over, then we just decided, okay, well, let's go do Soarin' one more time.
One last time.
Yeah, so we went over to Soarin', and that was actually a little bit of a line.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was probably about
Wasn't
20
too bad,
minutes.
yeah, but yeah, so we stood there, and then after we did Soarin', Mark was pretty much, you know what? I kind of think I'm good to go. And so we did one last broadcast together, because I was going to stick around for a little while longer. And so we
Because you
did
got to
our
get that hot link.
yeah I had to go back and get that hot link, that was for sure. So I went so Mark and I did our final broadcast in front of what was it, Grizzly River Rapids or whatever. We did our
Condor
last
Flats.
yeah, that area. So we did our last broadcast right there, and then Mark took off, and then I went back, and because like I said, I was getting that corn dog, that was happening. So I went actually before I got to the corn dog, because I wasn't sure if they were open yet. So I was like, you know what, while I'm here, might as well ride a Little Mermaid, because I didn't ride that. And so I went through that real quick. It was a short line, got on, got off, and went on to grab the corn dog, which I actually did mine with. They have hot mustard, they have like the French's hot mustard, the deli mustard, and ketchup. Mix those bad boys together. Ooh, wait, another taste level, baby. And so I had the corn dog. And then, so the day before, or yeah, it was 2 days before, when we went over, we were at the Avengers campus at night, and I saw this sweatshirt, and I was like, yo, I want to get that. But I was like, you know what? No, let me hold up, because maybe we'll be able, maybe they'll have it over at this store for cheaper. Well, needless to say, I should have just got it, because the next on Thursday when I went over there, they were sold out of the size I needed. And so I was like, bruh, like come on, like the only size they had like 2 XLs and stuff like that. And I was like, bro, I'm not that big anymore. So I just needed like an XL, and they were sold out. They didn't have any. And So I decided, okay, cool. She said there's another shop over on at Soundstage 17. So I was like, all right, cool. I went over to Soundstage 17. They have like an entire Marvel store just with shirts and everything else. And I didn't really care for anything, but I decided to get the Wakanda sweatshirt that you guys saw last week. I actually really like that sweatshirt. It's dope. Wakanda Forever on the sleeves when you put the sleeves together. And then I was like, you know what? I'm pretty much done. I went to go check out that Eternals thing. It wasn't like I said before, it was like 10 minutes. It was like the first 10 minutes of the movie and with an extended trailer at the end. And was about to leave, and I was like, oh, wait, I need to grab one more churro. So I went over to the booth that was like right near the theater, grabbed one more churro, and ate that on my way back to the hotel to grab my car. So, and then hit Mark up on he was already driving home. I was heading out. So that was pretty much the end of it.
The only thing I want to say of note from my drive home was there was literally a part of my drive where I had no one in front of me that I could see and no one behind me that I could see for well over 100 miles. It was amazing. The route that I took, coming down, you know, along the eastern side of the Sierras all the way down to the, you know, Southern California basin and everything. It was a beautiful drive. It's, you're coming along the backside of Yosemite and Shasta and all that stuff. It was a lovely drive, and to see no cars aside from the ones going the other direction, was crazy. It was very lonesome. I will say that, I'm being truthful. Like it was, for a while there, just staying in the same lane, with no one around, it's a little lonesome, but I made great time, got home at a great time, was able to see my kid before she went to bed. It was a great trip. I had a great time. Love hanging out with James. 4 days was more than enough though. So, yeah. Let's do it again, except let's do it even longer. And in Florida,
why not?
So we mentioned it earlier. I'll mention it again. We are planning a trip for Walt Disney World in April of 2023. So about 16 months from now. So,
Please, by all means, let us know, man. Send us messages. You can become friends with us on Facebook and hit us up, man. Please, we'd love to have more people. We'd love to have, we'd love to get, other people with their families together and everything else. So that'd be a fun time. It'd be really dope, I think.
As of right now, we've got at least a group of four. So
yeah.
If we can get some more, that'd be nice. But we've got at least four folks going right now. So you got any last thoughts on the trip, James?
Nah, man. It was, it was very enjoyable. Loved hanging out with you. I think, that was a little long. But, but it was fun. It was fun to do it. It was fun to do it. Do the park again. It was fun to do it with a good friend. And it was fun to actually have people enjoy what we were putting out there. That was the thing that absolutely. I really liked. We had a lot of people commenting. We had a lot of people having fun watching us. I think it would, honestly, it would have been, I think it would have made it even more fun if some of, at least like, like some of our big fans, like if Brian had been able to be there, if Steven had been able to be there, that would have been, that would have taken it to a whole nother level. I think if like some of those guys had been able to join us, that would have been dope.
Oh, absolutely. And Tyrus just checked in. He finally was able to catch us live. Unfortunately, Tyrus, we're just about to sign off. So, but we will let you know as well, since you just jumped on, if you didn't hear, we are planning a trip to Walt Disney World in Florida in April of 2023. So start saving now. I would love to have a nice big group. I love, hanging out with you, but it would be nice to have some buffers around, because after a while you just get on my dang nerves.
That's what friends are for.
And Tyrus did say he knew I wouldn't like the hot link, but I took it like a trooper. And I did. I tried.
You did.
You know,
you did.
I will now say we're well beyond when it happened. I did ham it up a little bit. It was nowhere near as bad as I was expecting going into it. I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie. I probably would never get it again. But it was not disgusting. It was not horrible. It was not gross. It was hot. For me, it was hot. It was spicy. But yeah. Ty says he's down. His Star Wars ride was a downer because he needs a full group. And that's what we said earlier.
Yeah.
Go back and listen to what we talked about earlier, Ty.
Absolutely.
We need a group of six. We need a group of six because that's the only way to make the magic happen and get both containers. Six adults, no kids.
Yeah, no kids. Unless the kid is video game efficient. If that kid is video game efficient, I'm down. But he's a gunner.
And then I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, maybe gunner. Just push the button. Go. But yeah, so be on the lookout for more info in the future about our Walt Disney World trip that we're going to be planning 16 months.
Oh, Mark, we kind of talked about it during our first show, but I did get an email back.
Oh, so Secrets of Harridge House is what you're referring to.
Yes, sir. I did get and I have been cast.
Awesome.
So, in a way,
we're working together again on something performance-wise.
Yes, sir. So it's been a long time. But yes, we will be sort of performing together, but not in the same episodes or anything. But I just wanted to make sure I threw that back out there because after we got off the air, I went and looked at my emails and I was like, hey, look. So I am officially a part of the Secrets of Harridge House family.
Awesome. Awesome. Ty says, congratulations. Well yes, deserved. It'll be good. You know, you'll probably have one day of recording where you record all your lines and it'll be nice and quick. But it'll hopefully get something out of your system a little bit.
Yeah, just even auditioning for it was just, it was nice to audition for again, because it's been so long. But I did want to make sure I threw that out there because we did kind of mention it. And now it is official. I am in.
Awesome. Yeah, Tyrus mentions that he'd love to get into some voice acting. And, you know, it's, for me, this, I've done a couple little things here and there, but this is the first big thing I've done, and it is a lot of fun. Obviously, it's not the same thrill as doing live theater in front of a paid audience or whatever, but it is fun. It is enjoyable. It definitely gives you a little bit of a rush when you are recording and everything. So,
and then but you don't get to hear all the sound effects and everything until later. So that's also must be kind of thrilling too. So
yeah, to go back and listen to the episodes is a lot of fun, you know, and that's part of the reason why we started doing this show, because we needed an outlet.
Yeah.
We love to perform, and while this isn't scripted and while this isn't, you know, rehearsed or anything, you know, it's still a lot of fun. And, you know, as we've talked about in the past, I used to do a live television show that, you know, we did not script, but we had outlines and stuff, you know, we had planned segments and everything. And we tried doing that here for a little while, but I think we're really catching a little bit of a stride here, just doing our thing, just flowing and riffing off each other. I know. Yeah. I'm having fun. I hope you're having fun. But it's not real fun. So see you real soon.
Take care, guys.
Yeah.